additional info.
Okay, pathology in the bowel. If there's a weakening of the wall and it protrudes out, this is the inner lumen. So we have a weakening of the wall and it protrudes out. What would that be called? Diverticulum. That's a diverticulum.
So are they going to be drawing from it, though?
Well, hopefully not like that.
Well, you can illustrate the diverticulum.
Just know what it is. It's a weakening of the wall. Extends off the wall. It's an outpouching extending out.
Of the wall.
A weakening of the wall extends away from the organ. Okay. And if you have something internal on the inner wall coming in, what would that be called? It's not a diverticula. Diverticula is laying out.
Peristalsis?
No. This one of guys is a polyp.
Oh, polyp.
Now, usually, a polyp has a little stalk on it, and then you have something that kind of looks like that.
Are these the rock types? I don't have a little
picture. You can tear them. Yeah, cut them off.
Is that a protrusion?
It comes inside the organ. It's a polyp. Both of these are best seen using air contrast.
Is it actually the wall? Yes.
It is the wall. Yeah, it's what broke from the wall. The wall is partly infected.
But isn't what you just called a polyp? Isn't that the same thing as diverticulitis? This where you have
outside the wall. Diverticula, diverticulosis, diverticulitis, it's all outside the wall.
Polyps are always looking in.
Not diverticula, that's going away. Zenker's diverticulum, here's the esophagus, you get this big sack, that's Zenker's diverticulum.
But do the polyps get seeds and stuff caught in them too?
No. They're kind of like a fleshy bacterial. I mean, they could obstruct, they could cause obstruction.
Okay.
And they can bleed.
Okay.
The cancer is the diverticulum.
Yeah. Okay,
peptic. Somebody has a peptic ulcer. Could be stomach or duodenum. So if somebody comes in with a history of a peptic ulcer, could be somewhere in the upper GI system, just not the stomach. In fact, I think it could be esophagus also. Esophagus, stomach, or if they have gastric ulcer, that's just stomach. Gastric refers just to the stomach. Peptic refers to the upper GI system. If you want to put the bulb in profile, what's the best position for the patient? Bulb in profile.
LPO.
RAO. Yeah, the C loop and the bulb are seen in profile on the RAO.
Can I double check a stupid question? Profile means next to each
other, right? Profile means the best image possible.
Best
way to see it. So you see the entire length, it's not for short. Yeah, so any object you talk about, to see it in profile, you want to see, the true size and shape of it without any foreshortening. So the RAO shows that best.
I'm thinking.
Also, then you have air in there. So if you want to see just with the area. And again, that's when we wrote that one list. The RAO is the best to put in profile. It's usually the LPO. Sometimes you get in the spine in the way. Yeah, it could be. But the REO, someplace don't do an LP. REO has always done this. Okay, what do we do for the maximum radiation allowed by law for a fluoro unit is 10 R per minute. That's a lot of radiation. 10 R per minute.
Per minute?
Per minute. Most fluoro units operate in the range of 3 to 4 R per minute. So most units are actually a lot less than the maximum allowed by law. If you use a C-arm, you had mentioned, some of you mentioned the C-arm, you're allowed more, actually. The C-arm, you can go up to 20 R per minute, just by the way it's designed for soft war. So if you're doing one of these cases, you don't necessarily want to be standing in a room for, you know, an hour of continual fluoro.
Why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago?
This will be checked by a physicist annually, and the state will come in and check it to make sure it doesn't put out more than that. But again, most units fall in this range.
What about C-arm? I'm sure they don't put out
20. I'm not sure what the average is, but I'm sure it's less than that. This is just, it's dose in the room itself that the machine actually is putting out, because the dose is being absorbed by the patient, so this is just next to the unit what it's putting out, if you stood right next to the unit.
So if we were going to get a question like that, it would be phrased how?
What's the maximum allowed by law?
For
a floor unit.
Okay.
CR, you want to ask
CR. Okay, double contrast. To 90 kV, maybe 100 could be used for a lateral double contrast. 80 to 90 is the general range. If you have a real thick body part, you can go up to 100. Single contrast. 100 to 125 kV. Okay, we talked about the II just a little bit ago, image intensifier. Here's the intensifier, here's the X-ray cable, here's the X-ray tube underneath. Most, I would say probably 95 to 97-98% of all the IIs in use today that are digital, the digital unit is attached to the II. So that means the radiation is coming up, goes into the intensifier, it's being amplified, and then it's being sent to the digitizer, and the digitizer is changing it to a digital image. Okay, but it's being amplified with the II originally. Almost every unit that's out there that you're going to use is that type of configuration. The new ones are working on, and there's a couple that are out, but they're very expensive and hardly anybody has them yet. It does away with the II, and all it has is a digitizer, so you have the tube down here, and the radiation goes directly into that device, which digitizes it immediately without going through an II, and sends it immediately to a computer and a screen, and you can see it, you know, on a screen right away.
So that one's faster?
This one's a lot better. It's, you know, this is going to be state-of-the-art, but hardly anybody has this one yet. And it's like in the lab that we have set up now, we're using CR, which you have to use a plate. And we'll do that maybe not next week, the week after. So you have to use a plate just like you do a cassette. The newer X-ray systems is DR. You don't use the plates. The plates are incorporated into the bucket, into the table. You never have to touch a cassette. Well, the fluoro, the newest fluoro, and again, it's not the ones that are all jet. The newest ones do away with all that, so all the information goes directly to a plate that's in this box up here and converts it automatically, so you do away with the II. And it's so sophisticated, you don't need the image intensifier anymore. Okay, but the one that we're going to be concerned about is this one, because that's what everybody should say.
So are they using less technique or more technique to compensate for that?
Well, this is probably less because it's all digital, right. And the sensors in here are probably more sensitive, so I'm not sure what the difference is.
Just run about the algorithm and add the light intensity with it.
Yeah, the phosphors that are using on these plates are so sensitive, it's less radiation, but I'm not sure exactly how much it is. Okay, if we want to demonstrate GERD, what would we do?
What is that?
GERD, if you want to demonstrate GERD. Which is reflux. Okay, you know the ways to demonstrate reflux. We just went over that. Okay, there's a non-radiology procedure that can be done. Okay, endoscopy, where an endoscope or possibly a duodenoscope is put down. And you can visualize the inner part of the organ by looking through the little camera that's at the end of the endoscope. Okay. A lot of times this is done in radiology, so you work with a gastroenterologist.
It's an ECG, right? It's an ECG. Well, actually, it's
CBG.
It's
esophageal
gastroenter, right?
Yeah, that's another term that can be used. And it can be used anywhere in the esophagus, the stomach, duodenum. And just has a little scope at the end, and usually it's hooked up to a TV, and it's like a little camera you put in the body, and you can actually then look at the entire woman on TV. So it's pretty neat stuff.
Yep. So I have to see a pool too.
It's used for a lot of things, but GERD is one thing that it's used for. Okay, when a patient comes in for GI, you have to do a history on the patient. The things that you should look for. Possible allergies. Make sure the right study is being ordered. A lot of these physicians that are nurses don't always order the right study. So I'll kind of go with their symptoms, make sure the right study is ordered. If not, talk to the radiologist. Make sure the correct contrast is being used. If it's barium, what density of barium should be used? Should it be double contrast? Should it be single contrast? Should it not be barium? Should it be water soluble? And if there's any clinical history that would be important to the radiologist, you know, it's really funny when I was out there, patients would come in and they say, "I'm here for an upper GI. What symptoms are I having? I don't know. My doctor just told me to come and have it done." And you hear that over and over again. A lot of patients don't even know why they're having it done. Physicians don't tell you a lot of times. One good thing about insurances, and I'm not really a fan of insurances, but the insurances are forcing physicians to put a diagnosis on a request now. Whereas at one time, a lot of times they wouldn't. Now, hopefully they match up. The reason for having it done is the reason for the exam. Now they usually do, so that's not a big problem anymore. Okay, position of the stomach varies with respiration. We're going to do ours on expiration, so we know where our centering points would be. Also, we'll change your body habitus, so different centering depending on different sizes of the patient. And also the lateral and the LPO, the stomach tends to move up slightly. Usually one vertebrae level on the lateral and the LPO. Okay, the last item, if a patient comes in for upper GI, double contrast, and you don't have them suck air as they get barium, you're going to give the crystals. Usually you want to give the crystals first, then the barium, and then lay the patient down flat. Now, every radiologist you work with does it differently, but this is the way that the registry would ask. So gas first, then barium. Then put the patient in front of it.
Crystals, barium,
and lying. Crystals, barium, and recumbent. Crystals, barium, and then lying down. Recumbent. Positions of the stomach varies with respiration. Patient habitus. And patient position.
Respiration,
patient habitus, and position. The lateral and the LPO, the stomach moves up a little bit higher.
Oh, man, about one vertebrae higher, right?
Well, approximately one vertebrae higher. That's why I remember the range that I gave you. We're all going to go to the upper part of that range.
Now, okay. The problem when you get your first vertebrae and you lay the goose down, what would that do?
When you use double contrast, keep it down just for 1 second. Just for 1 second.
Sorry.
If you don't have them sucked in air through the straw, mm-hmm. which most places do that, But if you don't do that, if you actually have the crystals the radiologist wants to use, give the crystals first, then have the patient drink barium, then lay the patient down. And that's the way that the registry would ask that. And every radiologist I've worked with has done it any way they want it. Take that for what's worth.
Okay, back to the other one, the lateral and the LPO, the stomach moving up one vertebrae. That's due to respiration.
That's due to position of the patient.
Position of the patient.
Yeah. Respiration also will change it. Body habitus also will change it. That's the third reason why the position of the stomach changes in the body.
Respiration, position, and body habitus.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Tomorrow we'll complete the review. For the stuff, there's not really, I don't think there's anything left. And then we'll start the small bowel. Tomorrow.
Okay. We have a test tomorrow.